And we're live.
Hello, and welcome back to another very determined episode of the First Time Watchers podcast.
Because we like to watch.
My name is Tim Costa.
This is Walter Vinci.
And those crickets you hear aren't actually crickets. It's a baby crying. Probably the one that Hermano is taking care of. Hopefully. Wally, did you check the trash for any babies?
I have no idea what to say.
He will not be here for the next couple of weeks because Hermano has more important things to worry about than this silly little show.
Like bringing a new first-time watcher into the world.
Yes. Maybe a bearded one as well.
I really hope he has like a thing where he just holds the baby up in front of all of us and goes, "Ah, because that'd be so appropriate.
It would be very appropriate. Anyways, what we like to do on the FTW podcast is find a movie that none of us have seen, watch it together, and then discuss. These movies could be new, they could be old, or something that is on all of our lists of shame. And remember to email us at firsttimewatchers@gmail.com, and stay tuned to the end of this episode for other ways to contact us, and to find out what we'll be discussing next week. Speaking of feedback, we'd like to thank The Void from Full Spectrum Geek. He said that he passed our podcast info to the guy who created Full Spectrum Geek, and he just texted him saying it was awesome. So we really appreciate that. And that is awesome.
That is really awesome.
And if he could just transfer that into an iTunes review, that'd be even more awesome. But in this episode, we'll be talking about Kathryn Bigelow's real-life procedural thriller, Zero Dark Thirty. And before we get into that, it's time for Yay or Nay. Yay! This is the part of the show where we discuss what we have seen recently on our own. And I'll go first. I have a few movies to talk about. First, I saw, finally, Mad Max.
Oh, what'd you think?
This is a movie that's been on my list of shame. I've never seen the entirety of it. Caveat, I saw it on AMC.
Okay.
So I don't know how much was edited. It doesn't seem like it's a movie that needed to be edited much for content.
No, content, no. Language,
maybe a little
here and there.
But, and now, based on what I have been told and the very few clips I've seen of any of the Mad Max movies, I thought that they all were a post-apocalyptic movies.
No, Mad Max is the beginning.
Yeah. So I was kind of taken aback that it took place in the modern time. You know, those Ford Falcon cars, police cars, awesome.
Yes.
Those are awesome cars. This is a really entertaining movie. It's really good. It's a good revenge movie. You know, kind of, I'm looking at the IMDb plot description, it kind of gives away a lot because there's a key plot element that happens a little more than halfway through the movie.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, why the heck are you? Why don't you just say they're out? He's out for revenge, and not saying revenge for what?
Yeah, exactly. Because then you kind of give away some of the important parts of the story.
But I found the whole thing entertaining. You know, Mel Gibson does a good job. This is really his first, you know, major leading role. And although the climax of the ultimate bad guy was a little bit anticlimactic, I think, because then he really gets to enact his full revenge on somebody else who was more like the second or third baddie, you know? But one piece of trivia, I did find out that the creators of the Saw franchise, the first Saw movie,
mm-hmm.
were inspired by this movie, by the ending.
I could see that.
Of what he does.
Yeah.
So that was a cool piece of trivia. So yeah, I say yay on Mad Max. Next, I'll talk about a movie that I will definitely not be giving a yay to, and that's called Lovely and Amazing from 2001. It stars Catherine Keener and a number of other women, directed and written by Nicole Holofcener. And this is a drama about women, and I can take a woman-oriented film as long as it's done well, you know?
All right.
This movie is not done well because I don't even know why any woman watching this film would even like any of the characters. None of them are likable. They don't do anything throughout the movie to better themselves from the situations that they get in. The synopsis is self-esteem and insecurity are at the heart of this comedy about the relationship between a mother and her three confused daughters. Yeah, it's not really much of a comedy. There's... I don't know. It's written so shallowly, and there's no real heart to the movie. There's no real drama to the movie. It's just a slice of life about you know showing this portion of these people's lives and showing it to you. But once again, they don't do anything to better themselves from the situation that they're in, and it's really just frustrating. And I mean, you can kind of compare it to, I would say I can compare some of the elements of it to The Good Girl with Jennifer
Okay.
Aniston, and that's a movie in which she definitely tries to better herself throughout the
Yes.
movie. Also, not to quite the extent, but a lesser extent, Fried Green Tomatoes, in which Kathy Bates' character is in a situation where she wants to, you know, to she's almost a midlife crisis, you know, and some of these women in the movie Lovely and Amazing are in a midlife crisis, and Kathy Bates in Fried Green Tomatoes does stuff to help
Yeah,
herself out.
try to fix her situation.
This
And
movie.
when you mentioned the description of this movie, I was thinking, oh, this like sounds like it could be like just a really piss poor version of Fried Green Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's more like a piss poor version, but more characters of the good girl.
Yeah.
So I have to say, nay. This is just such a shallow and disappointing movie. Next, I'll talk about a movie that really doesn't do anything. It's called Alomar. And this is a Mexican movie. By Pedro Gonzalez Rubio, starring it seems like non-actors, and it involves the inevitable farewell. I'm sorry, before their inevitable farewell, a young man of Mayan roots and Nathan, his half Italian son, embark on an epic journey into the open seas. It's not really an epic journey; it's really just showing his son his way of life in the Caribbean seas of Mexico with his father. And how they fish a lot, and it's just a lot. It's almost documentary style. You swear that these people actually live here.
Okay.
It's a gorgeous movie. It's shot beautifully. It's very independent, very low budget. But there's not much plot to it. It's just this father, this 20 maybe 20 something, maybe 30-year-old father. Showing his 4 or 5 year old son his way of life before he has to give him up to his ex-wife who lives in Italy. And you know, towards the end it gets kind of sad because you know he's not going to see him probably for a long time, you know.
Yeah.
But it's kind of meandering, and there's not really a plot. So if it's a gorgeous movie, so I do have to say meh, you know. Anyways, finally, I saw a movie that's on a number of people's top 10 lists of 2012, and that's o Oslo, August 31st. And it takes place in the 1 day in the life of Anders, a young recovering drug addict who takes a brief leave from his treatment center to interview for a job and catch up with old friends in Oslo. Wally, I think you would hate this movie because I know you don't like addiction movies.
That's nothing to do with addiction.
I
I mean, I liked Requiem for a Dream.
yeah.
I mean, it's well done, and to say that I enjoyed watching a movie like Requiem for a Dream is kind of an oxymoron,
Yeah.
because it's not an easy movie to watch. I mean, it's not that I have a problem with addiction movies. I have problems with movies that suck.
Well, this movie doesn't suck. It's very well made. And I guess I think it's gonna impact some people differently depending on their experience or life experience or just how open they are to this kind of journey when watching this film. It's actually on Roger Ebert's number one of the year.
Wow.
So, like I said, it's very well made. There's a lot of shots in here that are one take, long take shots that are executed brilliantly. That really make you know, the emotion really comes through. But it just didn't impact me as much. I think in the end, it can be a pretty depressing movie. I don't really see the need to go out of your way to watch this film unless you're trying to study, because there's a lot of good technical things right with this movie. So this is a movie, another one that I have to say, meh.
All right.
And that's it for me. Let's go on to you, Wally.
Well, I saw two movies. The first one is Girl Walk All Day.
I saw this as well.
This movie's awesome!
It is pretty amazing.
I challenge anybody to go see this movie and not smile
Absolutely.
through the entire time and
Agreed.
not walk out happy.
Agreed.
Just I don't like I'm not a person that can understand things like ballet or things like that. Like I've seen like some like ballet things on TV, and I've also seen that show So You Think You Can Dance, and I don't get it. Where you'll see like someone dancing and then the judges will start crying, like that spoke to me. I don't see it.
Yeah. But this
This
movie.
movie, I was just like, yes,
Well.
every literal step of the way. I was
Yeah.
like, this looks like so much fun.
Yeah. It's
And
just a girl dancing in the middle of the street, and it's amazing how this was executed, you know. Just think of what it took to film this and
yeah.
edit this and to create this, you know.
And I was just happy all the way. I looked with a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Yeah.
It comes out on DVD on the 22nd. I will be owning this. It's
Really?
gonna go in my collection.
Yeah. I can see it for free online at girlwalkallday.com.
Yeah, that's where I meant. I watched it online, and just people go out and see this movie,
Yeah.
see it,
Yeah,
and
it's fun. It's very interesting because they didn't have any permits to film, so they just filmed on the spot
yep,
at
wherever
all
they
the
could.
locations. It shows in one place where I'm surprised they left it in, and it's really cool that they did her getting kicked out of Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
This is actually on Matt Singer's CriticWire's and FilmSpotting SVU's in his top 10 of the year because this is really kind of an uplifting and very genuine film, you
Yeah,
know.
and it's just fun to watch. Like, and the people who are dancing, I'm like, wow, these, like, the creep and the gentleman, like,
Yeah.
I was like, these guys are awesome!
Yeah, well, they're very good dancers. I read up and they're all, you know, have a history of dance of a performance. The girl in it, Anne Marson, started out in ballet but got quickly frustrated with the rules and everything like
And I
that.
love that opening scene where
Yeah.
it goes right into Ludacris and Black Sabbath
The
and sh
music in this is amazing. Because I love mashups. I'm a sucker for mashups,
Yes.
and all the mashups in this, the modern mix with the old is very
Yeah.
well done.
So this is certainly a yay all the way.
Yeah,
Do
absolutely.
yourself a favor and go see it. My other movie that I saw that's also a yay is a movie that I believe I talked about very early on when we first started the podcast. OSS 117, Cairo Nest of Spies. Starring the star of The Artist, Jean Dujardin, as OSS 117, à votre service. It's a complete spoof of like the Sean Connery James Bond. It's set in 1955 in Cairo, and they shoot the movie and make it look like a movie from like the 1960s. There's co-starring Berenice Bejo. Am I saying her name right? Also from The Artist, she plays the female foil in the movie, and it's awesome. I mean, every time you see them driving, you can tell that they're just driving with like a projection behind them, and they're just kind of moving along. OSS 117. He goes from being like a really lovable character to being like, and then he'll say something completely jerkish, and go back to being like a lovable character. Like he's trying to fight the good fight, and there's like some like really hilarious things, like where he wakes up in the morning and his hair's like just sticking all over the place, and he runs his hands through, and as he does it goes back to being perfect through I don't know how they did it, but it goes back to being like absolutely flawless. There's a lot of like faux pas that he pulls, because he's very very chauvinistic, very very pro very what's the word I'm looking for,
Jingoistic?
not jingoistic,
Oh.
but like a woman will do something, he's like, a woman doing this?
Oh,
Oh, there's no,
chauvinistic, like you said, yeah, okay.
it's great, it's funny as hell. This is a yay all the way. Do yourself a favor. If you've seen The Artist and you want to see other movies by starring John Dudajean, this is another movie you want to start with. It's great.
Awesome. Now it's time for Trailer Hitches. This is the part of the show that gives us an opportunity to mention a movie trailer that either gets us on board for an upcoming movie or makes us want to bitch. I'll let you go first, Wally.
All right, we're gonna start with something that I think is just utterly ridiculous, and the name of the just the poster itself just screams stupidity.
You know, it's funny because I didn't even notice it until somebody posted on Twitter that she's bent in the shape of a two, and I'm like, holy shit, that's
So
right.
I noticed that yesterday when I was at when I went to go see Zero Dark Thirty. I saw this poster on the wall at the movie theater I was at, and went, really? Really change the name of the freaking series. You all right? It's The Last Exorcism, Part Two. If it's The Last Exorcism, this should only be one to start with.
That's a good
Never
point.
mind making two movies. And after seeing the trailer, I sat there and went, "Why? Why does Hollywood do this to me?"
Well, it's the second coming, Wally.
No.
The poster says it. It's the second coming.
N no. No.
So you just saw the
I
trailer.
just saw the trailer and it is it it's dumb is what it is. It just looks dumb. Eli Roth, like, I think you should just stick to acting in movies.
Well, wait a
Because I think
minute.
he's producing, you know, he's producing it. He's
Okay.
spending his money to make this. And I think he needs to be a little bit more judicious with what he spends his money on.
Well, I mean, Tarantino produces a lot of other stuff too, so.
Yeah, but this just looks
Didn't Tarantino
stupid.
produce Man in the Iron Fists or something like that?
He co-produced it along with the
Okay,
RZA,
then.
and that was movie. Yeah, movies suck too.
Okay.
But yeah,
Don't read too much into producers.
this movie is not good. It follows the exploits of the main character from the first Exorcism movie.
Did you see that?
I did not see the
Oh,
first one.
neither did I.
Didn't never that didn't hold any candle for me to want to
Yeah,
go see it.
me
But
neither.
apparently, it follows, you know, her again, you know, starting a new life. But lo and behold, the demon's still in her. And you know, they're her friends watching YouTube. Like, what are you watching? Oh, we're watching you. Stop it! No! Just that's not. I just, bringing attention to this movie just makes it just makes the problem
I
worse.
have to admit, on the trailer, there's some imagery that looks good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'd be interested to see what the cinematographer or the director, what they, else they've done. Maybe there's something good. I mean, it's probably just the writing that is really.
Yeah.
There's
The
no point to this movie.
only scene in the trailer that I actually thought was kind of neat was is at the end where it looks like they're holding some sort of seance or ceremony, and like
Or
the or
exorcism?
exorcism. Well, I'm not sure if it's an exorcism or what they're trying to do. But then like the lights go out, and then like a face appears in the wall. I'm like, oh, that's kind of neat.
It's been done in
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
But at the, nay,
No,
no,
it's not
bitch,
nay. You're
bitch,
bitching about
bitch,
it.
bitch.
I'll talk about a trailer that I saw, and it's from the same director and writer as one of my favorite movies in the previous year, from 2011, I should say, Rubber.
Okay.
I think that was like my number three or two of the year.
Yep.
By Quentin Dupuis, and the movie's called Wrong. Now, if you've seen this trailer, Wally, and you should see this trailer, and if you liked Rubber,
I'm the one to introduce you to Rubber.
yes,
Because
so
you said, why would I watch a movie about a tire? And I
that
said, watch this movie, Tim.
movie was incredible. Wrong, it looks like it has that same a lot of the same aesthetics, but the story is amazing. Dolph Springer wakes up one morning to realize he has lost the love of his life, his dog Paul. During his quest to get Paul and his life back, Dolph radically changes the lives of others, risking his sanity all the while. But it looks more like these other people that he comes in contact with are changing his life and his perspective, because it just has all sorts of strange imagery and strange reactions from these people. It just looks so ridiculous, a kind of like what you had described with John dies at the end. So this I can't wait to see this movie. It comes out in August of 2012. Well, in Poland at least. I'm not going to Poland to watch it, but
We go on vacation. It could be a road trip.
it'll come out sometime this year, and I'm pretty stoked to see this. The movie poster itself is pretty
It looks
unique.
like a Frank Zappa record cover.
Yeah, it does. It does. And after seeing Rubber, I'll just see about anything Quentin Dupuis does.
See, there you go.
I'm pretty anxious for that. Very good. Okay, let's get right into our review of Zero Dark Thirty. The plot: a chronicle of the decade-long hunt for Al-Qaeda terrorist leader Osama bin Laden after the September 2001 attacks, and his death at the hands of the Navy SEAL Team 6 in May of 2011. The director, Kathryn Bigelow. The actors, Jessica Chastain, Joel Edgerton, and Chris Pratt. Wally?
Have you seen The Hurt Locker?
Yes, I have.
This movie is boring compared to The Hurt Locker.
Oh.
I did not like this movie much at
Oh,
all.
really?
The movie to me was a shit ton of talking, and my one action set piece lasted 5 minutes with not much action to it.
Well, it didn't
There
last
was
5 minutes.
no tension to this movie. There was no, and
Oh,
they had characters coming in and out, like left and right. Like Dan comes in, Dan leaves. Jessica, then the other woman in the movie, you know, who starts off kind of like as like almost like as a foil when she gets corrected by Jessica Chastain's character, comes in and then goes and then comes back in again, and then you have the SEAL guys who come in and they leave. There's no, I couldn't follow this movie.
well, it was told in chapters. It was told
Even
in
in chapters, that's just like there's like one chapter. What was it? There were a couple of chapters actually that the chapter name is explicitly said, like, as a line of
Almost
dialogue.
all of them are.
And I went, ugh. Like, you don't have to say it in a line of dialogue. Catherine Bigelow, you are better than this. You are better than this, Catherine Bigelow.
Man.
The Hurt Locker, I was just floored by. I watched that movie time and time again, and I love it. And this movie, I was like, this, we're, I see what you were trying to do, Catherine.
Wow.
I see what you were attempting at, but no.
Well, obviously by my reactions, I couldn't disagree with you anymore.
I knew this was gonna happen too. As soon as I walked to that theater, I went, Tim is gonna hate me when I see him
Yeah.
tomorrow.
I love what the writer, Mark Boal and Kathryn Bigelow, how they treat this material. I think that the material is treated with as much respect, the most respect I've seen since the movie United 93. I don't think this film insults the audience or the material at all. It's just the facts, and that's what I love about this movie. It's just the facts, and I don't know why you think it's boring, because the stakes are always present. You know, from the opening of the film, it's just a dark screen with voices. And I was wondering before the film, I was going to be. I was thinking months before, I was like, I wonder how they're going to open this film. You know, are they going to do something shocking by showing imagery of 9/11 or anything like that? But no, it's even more effective by just having a black screen opening with
Just audio.
911 calls and audio and recording and stuff like that. I thought that was tremendous. And like I said, the stakes are always present. From showing the London bus bombing and the hotel shooting, and then a bombing of a hotel, the bombing of a U.S. military base, the Times Square car bomb threat. That throughout the whole film, they're always reminding you that there is a reason for this procedural, that they're going through this for a reason, that Jessica Chastain is going this through this for a reason. And there's so many points in this movie that I have to credit in it avoiding typical Hollywood cliches. You know, there's so many moments where it could just fall into a cliche where, you know, the team that Jessica Chastain is on, they're having a meeting with the TV in the background and President Obama is being interviewed. And they pause their, you know, what they're talking about to listen to him. And the president, you know, at that time says, we do not torture as a way of interrogation. And you know, that message from Obama has direct impact on their jobs, on Jessica Chastain
Yes.
and her team's jobs. And they just continue on with their discussion. There's no reference or message. They just continue on with the film. And that is a point where any lesser filmmaker, any lesser writer would take the time to have a message, a political message of some sort, and have their characters speak the you know speak the dialogue of that message. There's no musical swelling scores to guide your emotions. Your emotions are just guided by the material on the screen. And I have to credit Alexandre Desplat. You know, he does a great job of keeping it subtle, and it only keys in at the right moments. It's never intrusive. I don't know. And Jessica Chastain, I thought she was phenomenal in this film. You know, at first I really didn't know how to feel, because the way she enters into this interrogation, you know, this waterboarding procedure that shit, what's his name?
Dan, the character's name is Dan that's doing it.
But played by
Jason Clark.
Jason Clarke, thank you. And she just walks in on this interrogation, and she's, you know, shocked
Well, she doesn't walk in. She's there. She's very visiting, and she walks out and then comes back in without a mask.
Yes,
And she's wearing a hood when you
but
first
this
see
is her
her.
first introduction
Yes. So what's going
to
on?
what's going on in Afghanistan. She is obviously she was just sent there by her superiors because she's
A killer.
Well, she's a wunderkind, if you will, within the CIA, I guess, you know. And she has no idea what she's getting herself into, or what they're sending her to do. And she is immediately thrown into this interrogation, and you know, you're seeing it through her eyes pretty much. And I was like, she's reacting very passively at first. You know, her character is very passive at first, but it shows you how quickly she becomes entrenched in this. You know, with conducting her own personal interrogations and then just tapping somebody on the shoulder to punch this guy, you know, that
Yep.
she's interrogating, you know, like he's his puppet, he's her puppet. And it really gives you a sense of how quickly she becomes entrenched in this, and how she is, how this becomes her own personal mission, because at first it's not something that has directly affected her. She was probably too young at the time of 9/11 for her to really be, you know, personally affected and to seek out a mission of her own. But it's only when it becomes truly personal to her in two instances, a bombing, two bombings essentially,
Yep.
actually, that she makes it her life mission, that she does nothing else with her life except find clues to find bin Laden, where bin Laden is hidden. And that's what I mean about the stakes. You know, all these things are present, and the tension. It's amazing, I think, how the tension in this film is constantly present, even though you know how it's going to end. You know how it's going to end, and I'm like, I was constantly riveted at the edge of my seat. And I love how she's so compelling, especially because she's swimming upstream against a current of men, you know, in the government, you know, whether it be her superiors or the White House staff. Her performance is just tremendous, and how intense it is, especially this one-on-one she has with Kyle Chandler, and how determined she is, you know, and she's just in her his face, just wanting to complete this mission. I don't know. I found it great.
See, I found a couple of cliches in this movie.
Really?
Yeah, the first when Jason Clark is asked like why she's here, and he goes, "Washington says she's a killer." Oh, so here we go now. You
Well, that
know,
was it was
this is you're telling me as you're telling me as a storyteller. Now I have to pay attention to this cat because she's gonna become like this viper of sorts like over the course of this movie.
Well, no, I don't think it's much of a cliche,
Because then
because
the
it's subtle. It's not told in the way that you're saying it is. It's told a little more subtly. It's not, excuse me. It's not Jason Clark that says it. It's somebody else. It's her,
Oh, no, it's the station chief.
right,
The station chief says it's, he says it's somebody, that's right.
who's gotten the reports of her, you know. So, he just mentions it offhanded, and you know, Jason Clark kind of just shoves that aside because at first he sees a weak character, a weak person, you know, who really couldn't handle this interrogation. Now, speaking of the interrogations, there's been a lot of, you know, stuff, a lot of talk, a lot of chatter about this film and how it depicts torture, or if it condones torture or anything like that. And the more I read about people's reactions, the more I read about the film, the more I gather, I'm like, you know what? My first reaction after seeing this movie was like, I don't think it condones or condemns torture at all. I think it's amoral. I think it doesn't give you an opinion. But then after reading and researching a little bit more, I'm like, you know what? I think it's entirely up to the viewer as to whether or not it does condone. I don't even That's not even the point of this movie, to be honest with you. It's not to.
Well, the complaint was that it makes it the complaint that people had was that it makes torture look like an effective means of gathering information.
Right. Yes. But
Even
once
though
again,
you only see torture for screen time, 7 minutes.
yes, most likely, yes, that's probably an accurate description. But I don't that's not the point of the movie. People are getting hung up at this point, and that's not the point of the movie. The point of this movie is this hunt, and really, it's Jessica Chastain as Maya. It's her mission, you know, and her determination that gets us. And what's really amazing is how her determination continues despite the roadblock she has, because you know, at the time of the movie where they show the Times Square car bomb, that's a point where the government is starting to, and her superiors are starting to say that finding bin Laden is not the priority, it's protecting the homeland, you know. But she still has her own mission to find bin Laden, find where he's hidden. And it just happens to be luck, essentially, that through human error, you know, and that's one of the chapters, is human error, that they find, you know, the clue as to where he is. So I don't know. Obviously, we disagree on this
Yes.
movie. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we get into spoilers?
No, because I think what I might say next is going to be, it might have spoiler connotations to it, so I'll hold off till spoilers.
Yeah, because I want to talk about the SEAL Team 6 raid and all, so I think anything about that will be considered
Yeah, I'm
spoilers.
trying to think of anything else I want to mention before we get into spoilers. You know what? I'll just wait till spoilers, and if it comes up, then it's in the spoiler section, so whether or not I mention it
Sure.
offhanded, then not a big deal. So, spoilers it is. Him?
So yeah, about the SEAL Team 6 raid, you know, I love how it's executed. It's executed in almost real time. I think I heard or read that they only took out, you know, there's only like 2 minutes less than the actual raid itself. I find it was always suspenseful. Even like I said, even though you know how it's going to end, it's still shot and executed in a way that just leaves you on the edge of your seat. Once again, I have to credit the crew in this film. They never during that raid, they never cut back to Chastain during the raid. And that's more credit to Bigelow and editing and the respect for the material, because if they cut back to her to show her reactions in real time, you know, that would be a very Hollywood cliche. You know, there's no swelling. I mean, do you remember any music at all
There's no
during
music.
that
No,
scene?
there's no music in that scene.
Tremendous. You know, it's just the soundtrack of the raid, essentially. And there's so many details in there that you would never think, like the other townspeople nearby starting to come up and wondering what the noise is, you know, and soldiers having to try to hold them back or you know, verbally keep them back. There's so many details that you would never even think of, you know, like what about unless you read up on this, you know, extensively, all the children that are in the compound, the threats that are always just around the corner. And it's very brutally honest, you know, about who they kill throughout, you know, searching the house. You want to add anything to
In this age, what I consider mamby-pamby politics,
that?
when it comes to war,
Okay.
this movie at one point doesn't make any sense to me.
In what way?
Because we as a country are so concerned about collateral
So
damage
you mean in the PC world that
in the PC world when it's a war. You know what I mean? I look at other wars that the United States has been in where we just said, if you're going to go to war, if we're going to war with you, get ready because it's. Your country is about to go to hell in a handbasket. Nowadays we're so concerned about, oh, what if there's, you know, an innocent, what if there's civilians, you know, in the war zone, you know, and we have to be really careful about that. Jessica Chastain's character says, that's 100% sure that Osama bin Laden's in this place. Let's go get him. Even though they know that there are people, there are other people in there, like kids that are and other and women that are in there, that it seems foolish that you'd go headlong. I am absolutely 100% sure that he's in there when you have no visual confirmation whatsoever. You just have a hunch. She has no proof whatsoever. She's going on total inference that this third person in the house is Osama bin Laden. It could have been anybody. It could have been a widow. It could have been anyone in
Well, a
this
widow.
house.
I mean, they go out of their ways
They
to
tell you
show
that
you.
they well, they tell you that they stay with their parents or with their husbands. Now.
No. They go out of their way to tell you that in asking, well, what if it's a drug compound? And they go and they say there is no. This is the most successful
Drug deal. Yeah,
drug
exactly.
dealer because there's no drugs going in or out and no money going in or out. You know.
But they also don't say, like, what if it's somebody else? They never ask that question. They just go, well, whoever it is, you know, stays in the, you know, the grape under the
I
grapevines,
don't know.
or they don't leave the
I
house.
think they give you enough information, especially considering you know what it is. You as the audience member
You
know.
know, yeah, well, it's implied that you know, but I'm trying to look at it through the eyes of if I don't already know the ending of this movie.
Yeah.
And I was in that room with James Gandolfini and all those
Right.
guys.
Yeah.
What would my reaction be?
And they all do.
And
They
I'm with Dan on that one. It's a soft. It's a it
a
a
soft
soft
60.
60 at best,
Yes,
because we don't know. We don't have any way
I
of
think they
confirming
give you
anything.
enough people to be able to do that, and you don't know who they don't show you anything outside of the rooms that Jessica Chastain are in for the most part, because at one point there's an official a White House official that's says the president is a very thoughtful man and likes to take time with his decisions, and so you don't know what his decision is like, and what other people he has talking in his ear, you
Yeah.
know? And At this point, I don't know. I'm just guessing. Maybe the 60% has influenced him, and maybe influenced other people around him to say it's could be more than 60%. And look at Jessica Chastain. Look at Maya. She's this certain. So you factor that in with the other people. So I think it's told well enough. And also she's the one that says. I would just rather drop a bomb on the place and hunt after that, that's how certain she is.
Yeah, but where does she get this sudden bloodthirstiness from?
What do you mean? Where?
Like,
Because it builds up over time. It becomes very personal to her. She's in the hotel that gets bombed, the Marriott that gets bombed, and she's affected by that. She takes it personally. She her best friend that.
who gets blown up because she makes the dumbest possible decision she could possibly
You're
make.
right. You're
She's
right.
like, just let him in. Don't bother searching the car. Just let him
No,
in. Just let him in.
but regardless,
You live in a war zone. You
look,
can't take these chances.
I agree with you, Wally. But regardless, it's she. Regardless of how it ended up happening, it still ended up happening.
I wonder too if my own personal vigilance in life, has some sort of filter over what I'm seeing, because I'm always aware of my surroundings and what's going on around me so that I don't get surprised.
I think no. I think she balances her mission of vengeance and her vigilance perfectly. I think it's executed and balanced very well. Obviously, we just
Yeah,
fundamentally disagree
wait,
on this.
wait. I know this movie is gonna be very divisive between you and I. And
Yeah.
I was hoping I was gonna love this movie as much as I love The Hurt Locker. I actually walked in there and said, "All right, well, Catherine Bigelow gave me The Hurt Locker, and I adore that movie." And then I saw this, and I was like, "Ah, oof."
Well, what about the raid itself, the SEAL Team 6 raid? What
I
did you
mean,
think about that?
it was interesting and well done. And I guess the way I looked at it, I went, "Noisy as shit." Like that, no, like. Helicopters flying low overhead, one crashing in your backyard, didn't wake up anybody in the house.
Well, no, they didn't. I think people were awake that they just didn't go outside because they knew better not to go outside, run outside, and see what was going on.
Yeah, but I mean, even then, it didn't seem like there was any sort of preparation for an assault. Like it,
You
I
mean by the
when
people living in
by
the
the people in the
compound?
things, I assumed when I heard the story on the news, I had assumed it was not that they had landed outside
No.
and basically snuck in.
No.
And then a firefight
It was a
ensued,
combination of both.
and they snuck out. So seeing these helicopters flying overhead, I was like, it just seems really noisy. Like if you're trying to be quiet and so
Well,
not alert these people in the house that there's people there.
those were newer helicopters that were
Like yeah, they were stealth
so
choppers.
you wouldn't hear them until they were basically on top of you.
Yeah, I mean even that well, stealth bomber, you don't even hear that even when it's right above you.
Yeah, but these still have the rotors that you would
Yeah,
hear.
that you would hear. And like the breach explosives, those make a pretty loud bang.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I'm just like, one of the things, these guys making a lot of noise. I thought they would be quieter than this. But I mean,
You're right. The way it's marketed in the commercials, you only see brief glimpses of the raid, and it's all very quiet at the end of the
I
trailer.
thought maybe the whole mission was
But
quiet. Like
that.
when we actually went and did the mission, because we didn't want the Pakistanis knowing what we were up to,
Right.
because they weren't going to give them up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Someone had to have been getting
And that
paid
was another
somewhere.
key point going back to how certain are you that Bin Laden's there, because there is less than a mile. His compound was less than a mile from the Pakistani military base,
Yeah, and I think someone was getting paid a lot of money
Of course.
to keep that secret. So
Yeah.
when that's all happened, I was like, you know what? Good enough. I knew something like this was happening. Like someone's harboring him somewhere.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And then the Pakistanis were all pissed off. So I figured it was a much quiet. Even in real life, I thought it was a much quieter mission. Like they maybe landed outside and then walked in, breached, and then came back out with him.
Avoiding Hollywood cliches again, they could have made it a very quiet mission if it was any lesser filmmaker, I think. It could have been, like some super secret, quiet explosive, or something that
Yeah.
melts the locks quietly,
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought maybe they would have just scaled the walls, you know what I mean? Gone over the walls and just
Yeah,
kept it
so I found it
hush
very
hush.
realistic.
I thought I mean as overall I thought the raid was pretty realistic, in its execution. I mean, because they basically went from room to room and was just like if they saw somebody they had their silenced carbines and it was there wasn't a lot of it wasn't a heavy firefight. It
No.
was quiet. They took out the people that had guns
Yep.
and then
And then when they finally, and there's no, once again, I get so much credit because when they finally, kill Bin Laden, it's not like this big dramatic reveal or anything.
No, Zelia mentioned it.
It's right around the corner.
Do you know what you just? Do you know what you? Do you know what I think you've just? Do you know what you've just done?
Yeah,
You know what I mean?
and then Geronimo, Forgotten Country. After
Yep.
that, so that moment, and then after that, it to me, there was so much emotional payoff and catharsis. It was almost overwhelming to me at the end because, the only body that they find, that was a nice touch. There's the guy that has the body bags. He's coming up and he says, "No, all the way to the third floor," after he passes two bodies,
Yep. Not this guy.
Yeah,
Not this
not that
guy.
guy. Keeps going, and he sees him, and they put him in the body bag, and they rush him out to the copter, and they bring him back to the base. And it's Chastain, it's Maya who has to identify the body. And that moment, I just can't praise this movie enough. With that moment of her unzipping the body bag, and it's just quiet, and she nods, and the guy confirms, and she walks out, and the she just looks up to the sky, and then pretty much the next scene is her walking out into the helicopter all by herself. Where do you want to go? And a tear, tears running down her face at the end. As I love the closing shot of this movie because it can take in to be so many. It can be inferred for so many ways as what those tears mean, for her, for country, for friends, and everything like that.
Yeah.
I obviously I cannot praise this movie enough. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
No, that was pretty much all the major points that I thought kind of irked me over the course of this movie were all been addressed.
Okay. Not so anxious to hear your grade.
C plus.
I give it A plus. So, is that a B?
It's like a B.
That's a no. That's a B plus average, actually.
All right.
So I'm anxious to hear what Hermano has to say. I'm sure in future episodes we're going to go back to this
Yeah, he'll
and
have to
talk
give us
about
he'll
it.
tell us what he
So
thinks of
then
it.
it'll be a more official grade from the first time
A
watchers.
tentative B plus.
Tentative B plus, which is still good enough for me, thankfully. Okay, that does it for this episode of the First Time Watchers podcast. You can find us on Facebook by searching First Time Watchers. We post movie news and updates that we think you would be interested in. And you can email us at firsttimewatchers@gmail.com.
We also have a Tumblr page. I'm not sure what the address is because for.
It's firsttimewatchers.tumblr.com.
Thank you, because Hermano is usually the one that handles that. And then we also have a Twitter account at oneisttimewatchers@twitter.com.
And please download our episodes on iTunes and feel free to leave a review. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. If you have any suggestions of movies for us to watch, send a tweet, an email, or a post on our Facebook page. And stay tuned for our next episode. We'll be talking about our top 10 movies of the year.
I can't wait. This is the First Time Watchers podcast because we like to watch. Just gonna try to get up here a little early. I was trying to get up here earlier. I thought I'd get here earlier,
Yeah.
and then I hit Foxborough and went, "Shit!"
Oh, there's already traffic?
It's already all the way down. It's
A
like
4:30 game and
it's
it's
a
a quarter to
4:30 game, and
12.
it is from Wrentham through entire. Is it a town of Foxborough?
Yes, the town of
The
Foxborough.
entire town of Foxborough, all the way up to like Walpole, because I came through.
Oh, you went through one?
Yeah,
Oh, what the
I
fuck is
came down.
wrong with you, man?
It was on my way, and I stopped at
Oh,
McDonald's.
man.
I was like, oh, I'll just keep going down Route 1. And I was like,
Yikes.
this was a mistake.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
I made a serious life error here.
Oh, it could have been worse. Could have been a
Could
1:30 game.
have been a 1:30 game. That'd be really bummed. I'd be like, hi, this is Walter recording from his truck. Now, this is the First Time Watching this podcast. Mobile.
First ever.